From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. Here's our host, Dave Crooks.
Well, thank you, Barry Kent, and good morning, everyone. It is time for Focus on the Community, and we've got a special guest in the studio today. It is the president of the Park County Commissioners, Jim Meese. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Well, not bad. It's a nice day, and we're glad to have you in the studio to talk about things in Park County. A lot of things are going on, and of course, it's always fun to gear up for the Covered Bridge Festival, which we'll touch on. But I know one of the things that's kind of immediate right now, road-wise in Park County, what's going on when it comes to the latest on your county roads and any other things that are being upgraded with your infrastructure?
Well, the county road, of course, is operating all the time. In fact, coming down here today, I saw the highway department was paving a road. So it's just a constant struggle. I mean, that is job security. We got about 740 miles of road in Park County, and there's never enough money, of course, to do everything. So you do what you can, as best you can, with the materials and the time and the men you have to work with. And for the most part, I think they do a great job. It's just sometimes the weather gets ahead of you. So, yeah, it's a constant struggle.
And has the weather been a factor lately when it's caused some havoc for your county roads or what?
The weather's not been too bad at all this summer for us for the roads. And we've had some big rains, which caused some issues with the washouts and culverts. So we replaced some culverts. But really, dry summers like this are good for us. We get a lot of work done in that dry season.
Yeah, and I do feel your pain when it comes to never enough money coming from the state to help maintain and upgrade roads. I know you've got a lot of gravel roads in Park County, but that's about the best you can do on some of those.
It is. We're about half and half. You know, a lot of people think other counties don't have gravel roads, but almost every other county has some gravel roads.
They're absolutely. Just
everywhere. Yep. And it does come down to money. We always get our grants every year from the state. We get our community crossings, about $1 million a year that we work with. That we use to repave, resurface existing roads already. Our struggle for the county for so many years has been just maintaining what you have as best you can, because we have so many roads, so many hills and hollers to have to deal with, that we spend a lot of our time just rescuing roads that have gone bad rather than spending our time maintaining the ones that we have in the middle that are good. So now I think finally we're getting on top of that. I think community crossings have been a great asset to that. And so we're really working hard to not just create a new, not just repairing the bad and beaten up, but also to maintain the things that we have.
Now, help expand on that community crossings. What do you mean when you say that?
Community crossings is a grant program by the state. It's actually county tax dollars that the state has withheld, that they have kept in the event that the county didn't have enough money to meet their obligations with the state. But several years ago, the legislature passed where counties can seek a grant from this fund up to $1 million a year that can be used only for road work, and only at one time, only to resurface already existing blacktop roads. You couldn't convert a gravel road to a blacktop road. So we go for that every year. And no county has promised to get their $1 million every year, but we have been very successful every year. We go for that every year, and the state has seen the need in Park County, and they have helped us every year on that.
What's your total road budget these days?
Road budget probably is in the $6 million range, I suppose, which includes not just the things for the roads, but the health insurance is in for the highway department workers is in there as well. So probably actual funds to work with is about $4 million a year. Keeping in mind, though, just a dump truck, just one dump truck replacement, is about $250,000 right there. So that's just the new truck.
Well, I've not been in the state legislature for over 15 years, but my memory was it used to be about, $1 million for a good 1 mile of asphalt. Is that accurate?
Yes. In fact, when we get that $1 million grant now, it's about 6 miles of road that we can get. So it's close.
You can get six out of, on a county road.
Yes.
Okay. So not, so I guess.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Not on a state road.
Yeah. Yes. A state road, yeah. I guess is what I was referring to, but a county road, you can make that money go a little farther.
Yeah. It's about $170,000 to $200,000 per mile just to put a 2-inch overlay on an already existing road. So you're talking about building road, build where you got the base and the whole works, but it's $200,000 a mile just to put a 2-inch overlay on top of a 20-foot wide right of way in the county.
Wow, that takes my breath away.
It does. It's just amazing. Used to be years ago when it first started, we could get 10 or 11 miles, but the cost of oil and petroleum, those products, has gone up so much that has reduced that from 11 miles down to about 6 miles.
Anything else related to the highway department in Park County you'd like to touch on today, Commissioner?
No, we're actually in the process of beginning the process to find someone to fill Randy's job. Randy Norman has been with us 40-some years. Randy has done a good job.
And what was his title?
He's the highway superintendent.
Okay.
And he is in that tough position of having to do the work and deal with the public and try to appease all that he can do and do the work that they can. He's the one that has to make the decisions on what roads we're going to work on today and what's going to be done to them. And, of course, you just can't fix them all, so as a result, you can't please everybody. So
sure.
It's a tough job, and Randy has done a wonderful job. Anybody that really knows Randy Norman and the Highway Department knows the Highway Department is full of good, hardworking people who do the best they can with what we give them to work with.
Now, do you still work with, let's say you live on a county road, and is there kind of a partnership with, let's say, a person who wants to try to reduce dust, where they might work with the county to maybe get rid of the dust by putting some kind of product down on the road to reduce the dust content?
Absolutely. In fact, we have two programs for that. One's just dust control, where the county will come out and they will spread an oil across the whatever stretch you want. It's so much per foot to do that kind of a thing. And when you put that oil on that gravel road, it's going to create a hard surface to keep the dust from flying. The downside of that is we can't possibly keep pothole control over every little stretch in front of every little house. So if you purchase the agreement to have us put oil on your surface to control the dust, it's then your responsibility to maintain the integrity of that road by filling the potholes. But you can come to the highway department and get all the material you need to do that. But sometimes those areas get neglected and that hard surface gets those potholes, and they're even more rigid typically than a pothole would be in a gravel road, because now you have that sharp edge. So if they are not maintained, then the county will have to go back in and grind it back up and go back to gravel road. But they do have that opportunity. Then the other side of that is you can actually choose with your neighbors if you want a chip seal, which is a big step above just the oil, a step below paving, but it's a big step. We can double chip seal your road, but that's a cost sharing with you. And then if you do that and pay for that, then the county is responsible for maintaining the integrity of that service.
I see. But when it comes to the program, is that pretty much the cost is all on that resident that wants that oil sprayed?
Yes, it is. And we only have so much oil a year to use. So we have a time period when you sign up, and that's early in the spring. As I recall, it's early in the spring. But just call the highway department, contact them. And people who sign up then we know how much oil to order, so we have enough oil to do those places that have ordered it. We get to a point then we have to cut that off, and then we begin the oiling process. And if you have missed that deadline, then you just have to wait till the next year to get oiling done.
We're talking with Jim Meese. He is the president of the Park County Commission. And anything else related to highway department or county government you want to touch on before we segue to some other topics?
No, I really think, and I think for the most part, people are really understanding. They know you can't pick them all. The tough part about that, we're talking about the community crossings. You've got to pick, if you've got enough money to resurface 6 miles of road in the county, and you've got 750 miles of road, 350 about of gravel, and about 370 or so of blacktop. Of that 370 miles of blacktop, you got to pick the worst 6 miles to go pave, and there's a lot of bad ones, a lot of ones that need repaired, but that's all you can do. So we do spend a lot of time patching. We have two Dura patchers out every day, patching holes as best we can. But people just don't realize really that there is no base. You were talking about state highways where they put a concrete base down and build a road on top of that.
Yeah.
These county roads are simply dirt fields for a while, and then they put stone on top of that, and now they're just gravel. So you get rain, and it doesn't matter how good or how bad the ditches are. You get rain on that gravel road that's just on top of dirt, it's going to get soft. You're going to get holes. That's just the way it is.
So the biggest challenge that you face is probably increasing costs for just everything, I assume.
Always is. And people don't realize, too, that no property tax is used for our highways. The only funds that we get for highway use are the ones we get from the state, from that formula that they decide how much you get per mile. And the only other avenue you have for revenue is income tax. You can use a local option income tax and use a little bit of income tax to also help facilitate the things that you have to do on the highway. But that money is very limited. And you got a small county like Park County, 17,000 people. I'll give you an example. I had a friend that was working down at Terre Haute, and he would see his paychecks of his workers. And income taxes in Park County, Park County's got really, in the state, a high income tax because we have so much need. And I said, well, let's just use total numbers, not just taxpayers, but total numbers of people. So we get the same amount of money per mile as Vigo County, for example. And so Vigo County and we, and they have about the same amount of miles. So it's not because they're bigger, they have more miles. We have about the same number of miles. So let's say we're $1 million short, just for a number, to do what we need to do. Vigo County has 105,000 people to divide that $1 million up between. We have 17,000 people to divide that $1 million up between. So that's why the taxes are as they are. Because we do get that complaint, and I understand that. You know, my taxes are high, but my roads aren't very good. Well, that's why. We just don't have enough money. I wish we could fix all of them. I wish they were all black and hard and shiny, but that's just not the way it's going to be.
Well, you can appreciate this. Before I moved from Davies County, I lived in the city of Washington, comparable house to the one I bought in rural Clay County. My property taxes in Davies County were $3,400 a year on that home. Comparable home up here in the country, $800.
Yes, absolutely. And people don't understand that.
Yeah.
And that's where it goes. I was so jealous. I got a friend who's a commissioner at Hendricks County, Danville. And their highway budget at that point was $14 million a year. Our county entire budget is about $20 million a year. Hendricks County has to go out, and they have a five-year plan, of course, on their asset plan, as we do. But sometimes they have to replace things that maybe not really need to be replaced, but it's budgeted, and they have to use that money because you know that's the way government works. If you don't spend it, you don't get it next year, you know? So they're out looking for places to spend money. We're out looking for money to spend on the places we need to fix. The big difference between the two.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how that sometimes works. It's like, let's jump into some of the things as we prepare for the Covered Bridge Festival. I mean, a lot of work goes into this outside those big 10 days, right?
Oh, all year long. We have some amazing people in the county that work on tourism. Our Convention and Visitors Commission is just an amazing entity of 11 wonderful people, hardworking people, progressive thinking people. I remember the days when we first started this, 25 years ago with the innkeeper's tax. Innkeeper's tax is a tax paid by people who stay in the hotels and they pay a tax. Then that money is used to advertise to promote tourism. So you have a limited amount of numbers. And back in the days, 25 years ago, we would run ads in papers, as you all recall, and have coupons, and we're trying to find out where people are coming from. So they'd cut that coupon out and come get a free ice cream cone someplace to record. And if we attracted, if we touched maybe 1,500 people, we thought that was a great campaign. Now, of course, it's all online, and it's all Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all those things. And now on a typical daily basis, we have about 500,000 contacts with people who click onto our sites and get the information that we have. So times have changed.
And that's for the whole year, really, that average, or what?
On a monthly average.
Oh,
that's
on a monthly
average. Yeah,
and that's what, coveredbridges.com would take a lot of that traffic?
Yes, that's exactly what it is, yes.
Okay, so for those that want to know more about the Covered Bridge Festival, coveredbridges.com would be the place to go, right?
That's exactly where to go. That's operated by Park County Incorporated, which was an entity created back in 1957 by the commissioners to promote and to put on the Covered Bridge Festival, and they've done that since 1957. It's a long time.
And are you aware of any major changes or improvements from a year ago for this year's event?
Well, nothing so much as far as the presentation itself. We still have things in 10 communities from, you know, Rosedale, Montezuma, Tangier, all of those places, Mansfield, Bridgeton. But we are in the process now of making a change. And, of course, change is always tough. But if you've been to Bridgeton, you know how congested Bridgeton is on Main Street during the Covered Bridge Festival. Up to this point, traffic has still been allowed to drive down Main Street during Covered Bridge Festival to get from one point to the other. So Dan Collum, one of our commissioners, has met with the many people in Bridgeton, as vendors as well as people who live there, the fire departments, the sheriff department. And they've worked out a plan which is going to enable us to close traffic to Main Street from 9 to 5 the days of the festival. There's really only 6 people impacted by that, and they're going to be able to get through the barricades, but we're going to have manned barricades where if an ambulance has to get through or our fire department, they can move the vehicle and they can get through. But other than that, we're going to try to route traffic around Main Street. So during the energetic part of the festival, they don't have to worry about getting hit by a car.
You know, I think that's a good move because I was up in Bridgeton last fall for the festival, and I can tell on that Sunday, it was very busy, and that makes perfect sense to make that safety change.
It does, and you, as being a legislature, know more than I, so I'm not sure of when this ended, if it has ended, but if you recall, used to be if you needed a stoplight at an intersection for the state, there had to be 5 fatalities at that location before they would put a stoplight up.
And a study.
Yeah, and a study. Well, I don't want to wait for 5 fatalities. I don't want to wait till somebody gets hurt. So if this is going to avoid someone ever getting hurt, and the accompanying lawsuit that would come along with that, then this is probably a thing to do or try. I'm sure it's going to need to be tweaked after it's evaluated. I'm sure it's going to change next year, but you got to start somewhere with something. And hopefully everybody will see this is going to be a good move, I think.
Now, your festival always seems to be one of the better ones in the state. What, 1.5 million people come to our little community for this event during that 10 days approximately? That's what we think, which is amazing in itself. I mean,
it is.
It's huge.
And it's been that way for years and years. People don't realize this is the biggest festival in the state of Indiana. They think, oh, no, the 500 is bigger. No, the 500 is not bigger. This is bigger than the Indianapolis 500. This is the grandfather or the grandmother, whatever you want to use, of festivals, really, in the Midwest. But certainly in Indiana, it is the biggest.
So we're looking at ways that crime has changed over the years. And do you have much crime at all when it comes to the festival and people trying to steal credit card numbers or things like that or what?
We've not had any experiences that I'm aware of, that type of thing. But you wouldn't really know about that so much until they got home and found out that they've been hacked. So we don't know about that. But as far as crime, you talk to the sheriff's department, there really is not that problem. Traffic is really the main problem. And the difficult part is for the ambulance services to serve. We have ambulances at Bridgeton and at Mansfield, and they're on duty all the time. And you have anything from bee stings to some little old lady falling, or you never know what could happen. So that's the big challenge. But crime, not so much. Our sheriff's department and all the reserves, they're all out every day, and they are on duty, and they are on site. And it's just, as you can imagine, a little county of 17,000 with the infrastructure and the support systems and the first responders. All of a sudden, now you got to serve 1.5 million people in the next week. That's a stress.
And communication is a challenge at times in your county with lack of cell phone service. But
absolutely,
I know that's getting a little better, it seems.
Well, it is. But cell phone service is the problem. And again, people don't think about it. Most of the cell phone from tower to tower is a line of sight type of thing. So you got to be able to see that tower. Your phone has to be able to be a straight line to that tower. We have so many hills and hollers. Mansfield, you just can't get out down in Mansfield. Or Bridgeton, you can't get out when you're down there. So when we were rebuilding the Bridgeton Bridge, we had one place on the work site there at the parking area where we were putting the bridges together. We had one pile of lumber back at the end of the field that if you went back to that pile of lumber and stood on that pile of lumber, faced one direction and held your phone just the right way, you could get signal to make a phone call out. But I couldn't believe it. But if you're holding your phone talking and you just make a quarter of a turn, you're gone. It's lost. It's out.
Right.
So how we even found that, I don't know. I think somebody was just looking for the highest point maybe in that. We called that our phone booth. We knew where the phone booth was when it was time to go make a call.
So a year ago, they passed the Reduction Act or whatever the president calls it. But there's some money in there to help expand like everything from broadband and so forth. Are you guys going after any of those funds?
We really have been for the last few years. We are so active on trying to get broadband. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up because this is really important. We have complained to the state for years now that they put out a map of what's served and underserved as far as broadband goes. We would constantly tell them that you are saying that this area is served. It is not served. We have people who are not getting service. So the state finally now has sent to us requirement says, this is your chance. You're telling us you have addresses that don't have service, don't have access. You need to tell us where those are. And so we need them to contact Cindy Todd at Partnership Park County in Park County. It's going to be in the paper. It's going to be on Facebook. We'll have that address out, but it's just Partnership Park County, and Cindy Todd will keep record. It doesn't mean that you don't have internet at your house because you've chosen not to have it at your house. It means there is no line going, a terrestrial line. We're not talking about Wi-Fi. We're not talking about through the air. We're not talking about satellite internet. We're talking about a line. If you don't have access to run a line from your house to the road to get on internet, we need to know that address so we can tell the state. Because we have really pursued these grants, and we have some major changes coming up that we have done, and we have four companies working on getting broadband in the county, so we are making big strides on that.
Well, it seems to me that your county has been pretty progressive, at least the chamber I know, building Bridge 61 for people that need a place to go to have a nice small office that's affordable and all the tools and the internet. That's great that they've made that available, but doggone it, Commissioner. It just seems like no matter where we are these days in 2023, you ought to be able to have a good cell phone signal and reliable internet.
Absolutely.
But here we are. We're still chasing the Carmels and Indianapolises and the Columbuses. And it just seems like I'm an advocate for regulation. They got rid of the regulation years ago. And it just seems like the underserved areas are still kind of getting harmed.
And they really are. And you're getting arguments from AT&T and other companies. I don't mean to pick on AT&T, but other companies who put out the map saying we serve that area.
Yeah, no.
No, you don't. You're not down there. You may be close, and I understand that, and it's a big map you're trying to fill in, but you are not serving these areas.
Or you'd be like Oliver Wendell Douglas climbing like the telephone pole to get your phone in the air enough to get a signal, you know?
Yeah. It's really been a struggle. And folks don't know really that you were talking about how progressive Park County has been in pursuing this, and they have. We have wonderful people who've been working on this for a long, long time. Roy Reitzman, a county councilman, really started this process a few years ago. And then the states began to operate as far as having shovel ready or ready to go. It was called broadband ready. Park County was the second county in the state who was broadband ready to accept these grants. And I am so proud of our county council. In order to be eligible, you had to do a study to see if it was feasible, a feasibility study. That feasibility study guaranteed nothing except if you didn't do it, you wouldn't be eligible for these grants. But if you do it, you'd be eligible, but no guarantees that you'll get the grants. They spent $40,000 almost on a feasibility study just to get us broadband ready. And for our council and our little county, our poor little county, to speculate with that kind of dollars, that was a huge step. And I am so proud of them for doing that step. It's turned out to be a good thing because we have become eligible for the grants that allow us to make the changes that we're making.
Good to hear. And we mentioned the festival, but you know, another big draw in your community, it's one of the top 10 state parks in America, I'm told, Turkey Run. It's amazing how many people it attracts per year.
It really is. And if you remember, you may have noticed in the news during the COVID days, when the people were looking places to go, we had traffic backed up on the highway trying to get into Turkey Run State Park because they couldn't get in. They only could allow so many people in, and they're stopped on Highway 47 in traffic backed up waiting for someone to leave the park so the next car could go in. It was just that full, so it's amazing. But you think about Park County. It really is just an amazing part for all the counties around us. To have all the parks that we have, the Raccoon Lake, Shade State Park, Turkey Run State Park, Rockville Lake Park, we are just a little jewel that Indiana is just really beginning to understand as being a really jewel.
I'm with you. I like Park County a lot, and that's one of the reasons I invested in your community. And we're glad to have you in the studio today. If someone wants to contact you, Jim, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, email will be fine, and that's just simply my name, jmeese2000. So it's J-M-E-E-C-E and the number 2000 at yahoo.com. And anyone's welcome to contact me anytime. That'd be just fine.
And is there a website for Park County?
There is. It would be parkcounty.in.gov.
Okay.
And we are right now in the process of updating that as well. We have changed over to the state-run program, and that should have most all of the information that you need. We are constantly updating that. We want to get where you can do all the service that you used to do at the courthouse, you can do at home if you need to. We finally have gotten into the next century. We are now taking credit cards for payments on property taxes and those types of things. So slowly, bit by bit, we are moving into the technological age, and we're getting there.
Well, keep up the good work. And again, for those that want more information on the upcoming Covered Bridge Festival, coveredbridges.com. Do you know the dates off the top of your head for this year?
Yes, it starts October 13th. It always starts the second Friday in October. So this year, that's the 13th, goes 10 days. So it goes from that Friday to the following Sunday, 10 days later.
It'll be here before you know it.
It's hard to believe it's a week away from September. Then here we go.
President of the Park County Commissioners, James Meese. Jim Meese, thanks for being on the program today. You have a great weekend.
Well, you guys too. And I appreciate what you do getting the word out to folks in the county. We appreciate you covering us and taking care of us.
Well, we appreciate you, sir. Have a good weekend.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 11:30 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM, and on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.